So we are at the end of our sermon series, and it's been a good sermon series, so I'm just going to make some adjustments. I don't know why I didn't do this before I hit the record button. This is now all being recorded. Typical. Right. Okay. Am I comfortable? Yes, I am. I shall start preaching. In our sermon today, we're going to be looking at the worshipping community. And I don't know about you, but I think there's some very obvious links to what we've said as a church are going to be our values, the things that we think are really important to us in terms of who God is shaping us to be. So I think we're going to see the value of being Jesus-centered and Spirit-led. You're going to see in this sermon the value of worshipping, because the whole sermon's about the worshipping community. I think you're also going to see, we made some slight adjustments to one of them, supporting and growing. We've transferred it, started to call it supporting and transforming. And you're going to see aspects of that in this sermon today. So I just wanted to make the link between what we say as a church we value, and that's really important to us to value. That's going to help shape us who we are. And actually, when we preach, those values and our sermons aren't actually opposed to each other, that they're in connection to each other. So the subject of worship is enormous. We can't and shan't get into all that it means. We know, though, that worship is more than just singing, and that worship is more than just the Sunday service. We know that. We know that worship is living each day for God, regardless of where we are and what we do. We think of Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So, living sacrifice to God is living each day as worship. We know this. But today, we are looking at why we do what we do in this space, this church without walls at the moment, and when we gather together as church in a building. It's really important for the community of faith. This time is essential. It's essential for lots of reasons, mostly because of what God will do in us as we worship together. I've shared this story a few times in this church, but it really is one of the most important in my personal story. When I recommitted my life to Jesus at the age of 22, I started attending a weekly service at the college chapel. The first 6 months of faith were very dry for me. It was a head choice to follow Jesus. Nothing was penetrating my heart. One Sunday morning we were singing, I didn't think much of Christian songs, which is funny now because Christian music and worship is just one of the ways that I meet with God. But back then, I was really anti-Christian songs, terrible. Hymns and songs, they were rubbish. However, on this particular Sunday morning, we were singing Great is the Lord and Most Worthy of Praise. And something started to happen in me. I started to cry during the song and then I started to sob. And I remember God kind of speaking to me saying, I want you to worship me with all of your heart or don't worship me at all. And so I said, okay, I'll worship you with all my heart. And what happened during the song was I was being filled with the Holy Spirit. I had to leave the room because I couldn't control my sobbing. The Holy Spirit filled me and changed me that day. And I don't think I've ever been the same since. This event of being filled with the Holy Spirit in an overwhelming way has happened to me a number of times over the years as I've tried to follow and worship God. Most often when God has powerfully filled me with his presence, it's been in the context of corporate worship, whether that's in a big space, at a conference or in church, or just gathering with a few people in a small room. Together with other Christians, worshipping God through song, scripture, preaching, communion, prayer. When you think about the times when you have been filled with the Spirit overflowing, if you don't like that language, perhaps you like to think of having a deeper awareness of God's Spirit and presence in your life. Where has that happened? Maybe that hasn't happened yet. It is from the place of worship that individual lives are changed, but sometimes whole congregations. Churches can completely change direction because God chooses to break out in power in the context of our worship gatherings. One of our readings today, but be filled with the Spirit as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to God the Father at all times for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the doing of worship, be filled with the Holy Spirit. We're here to meet with God. We're here to be changed as a result and to help others do the same, living out our worship with integrity in public as well as in private. Spirit-led corporate worship creates a platform for people to encounter God and discover or hear from Him. This is when we often see God break in through His Spirit, bringing transformation, bringing restoration and resolution. I ask you, do you believe this? Do you believe that? Colossians, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. That's, there's a plural sense. It's not you individual, but you plural. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, plural again. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and with gratitude in your hearts. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God, plural. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This passage has a lot to say, but one of the aspects it's talking about indirectly is being transformed. Peace in our heart happens through worship transforming us. The word of Christ dwelling and reshaping us happens through God using worship to transform us. Jesus as access to the Father is as our joy and our peace causes the transformation of the person within by and for the community that worships together in the power of the Spirit. Let me say that again. Jesus as access to the Father is our joy and causes the transformation of the person within by and for the community that worships together in the power of the Spirit. The worshipping community is one that should expect the transforming power of God to manifest when we are together. Singing, praying, preaching, baptizing, sharing communion. God has given us these things so that God can meet with us to transform us into the church of Christ and into Christ's likeness. Worship, if you like, is God's blessing to us. We need to dismiss the lie, though, that God needs our worship. God doesn't need our worship. Interestingly, in the Old Testament, the prophets and the psalmists refute that sacrificial worship is needed by God to satisfy his divine ego. It's not. There's lots of references, just a couple this morning to help us. Hosea 6, verse 6, For I desire steadfast love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Or an example from Psalm 51, for you have no delight in sacrifice. If I were to give a burnt offering, you would not be pleased. God, early on in the story of Israel, establishes the form and function of worship to enable his people to be distinctive and above all to worship and know God. God's desire was to establish a people that would become the witnesses of God in the world. The religious practice was part of that. So Exodus 20 marks the beginning of this new way of being for a people group who would worship God. It says this, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. And after that, a pattern of worship was set up to enable this free people to serve God in freedom. The Old Testament continues to make a link, if you like, between faithful worship and God's blessing of his people. Deuteronomy 11 verse 13 is an example of this connection between worship and blessing. If you will only heed his every commandment that I am commanding you today, loving the Lord your God and serving him with all your heart and with all your soul, then he will give you rain for your land in its season. And so it goes on. The meaning of seasonal blessing linked to obedience is kind of strange for us. It's a strange concept, isn't it? The Old Testament story of God and Israel always links heartfelt, obedient worship to the blessing of Israel in whatever they do. Worship that matters to God that matters to God is always about loving God. And loving worship of God leads to wholeness and leads to health. It leads to shalom. There's an undeniable link which we might struggle with here. God's plan was for Israel to be a blessing to all nations. The worship of the people was linked to that. In their loving God, they would be blessed and so be able to bless others. In the new covenant, that is still true for us today. God doesn't need our worship. Our worship is for us, so that God will bless us and that we might be a blessing. It's loving obedience to come before God in adoration and praise him and worship him and come before him in awe and accept his holiness and his rule over our lives and his love poured out to us through Jesus and the Holy Spirit in us, transform us into Christ-likeness. We do that, but Christ, God does so in us because of it. In Acts 17, Paul is in Athens. He's talking to a group of people about their gods and reflecting on the God he knows. He says, "The God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. For in him we live and move and have our being." It is God the Father through the Son in the Holy Spirit who gives life. Worship is one of the ways our Creator breathes life into us. The early church used the methods of worship that were found in Judaism. So the Hebrews, Hebrew-speaking Christian Jews and the Hellenist Christian Jews worshipping God in familiar ways to other Jewish folks. And then the early church quickly modified this in light of their faith in Jesus, modified the language, modified the practice. Early church fathers wrote about the worship norms of the gathered people. It included much of what we do now, a different shape for different words and a different style, but the worship God in the Christian community has always had the elements of word, preaching, singing, communion, prayer, and baptism. Obviously, the style and the context, the style changes for the context that we live in, but it has those elements. The shaping of worship through the centuries is God's sign of movement among his people. We gather together today and are still doing a form of the things that have happened for the last 2,000 years. Through his Spirit, when we worship together, God promises to be present with his people. So Ephesians 2 speaks of this. As those who are citizens of heaven because of what Jesus has accomplished, is doing and will do, we together and individually become a dwelling place for God. When we meet in the name of Jesus, we must expect God to be present because God is present in us. Worship, let me say again, is God's blessing to us. Worship is inherently what creation is for. D.A. Carson observes this. We often feel encouraged and edified as we worship together. We are renewed in our awareness of God's love and God's truth, and we are encouraged to respond with adoration and action. All the while not forgetting that it is Jesus who draws us into God's presence through his death and resurrection. Worship is God's blessing to us. It's not about what God needs, but much more about what we need. In our gatherings, God begins to reshape us and transform us into Christ-likeness. I think even in the worship experience together, God begins, if you like, to impart his desire for us to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. Have you ever noticed that as you come in praise and in prayer, your love for God increases? Because worship is God's blessing for us. How prepared are we for these gathering moments where the presence of God is manifest and the Spirit ministers to us? We might, when that happens, we might never be the same again. When was the last time you had a I'm never going to be the same again moment because you came to God in prayer and in worship? The Spirit of the living God who dwells in you and in me is active in this space through our worship for the benefit of us and those we then bless. The Spirit of God who brings healing and freedom to you, peace and wholeness, bringing vision to us as a church, renewed purpose and deep joy. The Holy Spirit who helps us in our worship through singing, word, communion and baptism, activates in all of us God's gifts that God wants us to work through. How prepared are we for this? Worship is God's blessing for us so that we might go and live and bless others. We are the worshipping community. I'm going to pray. And let me just...